I want you to turn in your Bibles, Acts chapter 1, beginning to understand some things about the apostolic office. I'm beginning to understand what this office is really about. There are forerunner apostles right now that are in the body of Christ, but this office, in my humble opinion, has not been fully restored to its fullness, to where God wants it, to where it's going to be. And there are reasons for that. And those things we have to identify in the Word and understand what that office is about. A lot of people believe the office of apostles about going to plant churches. Listen, you can be an evangelist and plant churches. You can be a pastor and plant churches all over the world. You can have a governmental mantle on your life and plant churches. It is about planting churches. A lot of other people will believe if you have a lot of ministries underneath you that you're apostolic. And that could be true. But listen, you can be a pastor and have hundreds and hundreds of churches underneath you and still not truly be apostolic. There are certain things that truly define the apostolic office. And I don't want to take away from any of that because the apostles do all that and more. But there are other things, I mean, specific things that define this office more than anything. And what my humble opinion, it hasn't been fully restored. It's not fully functioning because if it was, you would know it. It could not be hid. The true apostolic office, authentic apostolic government cannot be hidden. Not in its fullness. Because its power cannot be hidden. Its testimony cannot be hidden. Its glory cannot be hidden. And more importantly, the resurrection life that comes from this office cannot be hidden. And this is really where we're going, what we've been about, and what we're going to be about. Amen. It's the restoration of all things. Hallelujah. You know, God will call people to be facilitators, and God will call people to be birthers. A facilitator is a lot easier because all you have to do is facilitate what's already been birthed. You just got to get into what's been birthed. Have you ever been to a faith church? They're everywhere. How many of you ever been to a faith church? Raise your hand. Well, those all come out of Kenneth Hagin. We know that. And all that was birthed out of that man. That took him 50 years to birth that movement. Lord, please don't let it take 50 years. It took him 50 years to birth that. But these other churches come along, they can get in within a year or two what's already in birth because they're just tapping into that stream that already is, see. And that's the way God will do that. He'll facilitate that stream. Vineyard churches, when that was birthed by, I believe Wimberly birthed that, it all just started flowing. That's the way the prophetic movement operates. And I believe the same is going to happen with the apostolic movement, apostolic government. And the apostolic office, it's going to come to full age. He began with it. He's going to end with it. Amen. But we're going to identify and continue to identify and see what actually defines that office because it's important to understand that. It's important to understand what that office is going to look like. Like, Lord, if it was here, I could see it. But we're not seeing the way it was in the book of Acts. Not yet, anyway. But we're going to. Amen. But the Word can be just as powerful. Amen. Let's begin in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but you shall receive power, say power, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, everybody reads the book of Acts in light of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that true? It's the book of Acts and the anointing of the Holy Ghost that was upon the church and he was the one doing it. That is for certain. And the reason why we do that because of the restoration of the Holy Spirit that's happened in our generation. But when you read the book of Acts only in that light, you're going to miss the full blueprint. Notice what else he said. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses. Say witnesses unto me. Now, we all witness We all go out. We all speak to somebody about the Lord. But in this text, you know that Luke wrote the book of Acts, don't you? And he was actually rehearsing exactly what he wrote in Luke chapter 24. What was going on in Luke chapter 24, he's rehearsing in the first half of Acts chapter 1. And to understand what he was saying there, you have to go back to Luke chapter 24. But before we do that, I want you to just back up a little bit in Acts chapter 1. Now let's look at Acts chapter 1 verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Amen. To whom also, I like this verse, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them. Don't miss that. Assembled together with them. Assembled together with them. In a resurrected state. So here's what we have. He was seen of them for 40 days. He spoke things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And he gave them the promise to wait on the power of the Holy Spirit. Behold, you receive power, so you will be my witnesses. Three major fundamental operations that made the book of Acts what it was, that birthed the early church. And what it was what I call threefold apostolic testimony. I want you to put your finger in chapter 1 of Acts, and I want you to go Luke chapter 24, and you'll pinch those pages together. And I want to look at this and exactly what happened. Don't miss this part. Without this part, we're not going to see the fullness of this office. With this part, we are going to see the fullness of this office. What I want you to do, if you're taking notes, is write this down. Read the book of Acts in the light of the eyewitness, the word of the resurrection, and the Holy Spirit. In other words, read the book of Acts in the light of threefold apostolic testimony, not just in the light of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because if you'll read it looking for this, you'll see a thread throughout the book of Acts that defines the blueprint and the pattern which God built. When he put Moses on the mount, he told Moses, he said, see that you build according to the pattern that was showed to you on the mount. He came down and built that tabernacle. He was given those blueprints. Same with David. David told Solomon, he gave him the blueprints. He gave him the money. He gave him the priesthood. He gave everything to him. Man, I would like this with Solomon. You just walk up into it. David gave him everything. He set up the priesthood. He set up everything for him. He gave him the money, everything. He had the blueprints of the tabernacle, the whole thing. All Solomon had to do is build. He said, see that you build according to this pattern. God deals in pattern. He doesn't deal in formula. He deals in pattern. There is a pattern that makes things work. And we have to identify that. We have to see it. Then we can pray for it. Amen? That's really what these constitutions are about. You find the pattern first. Then you bring God's word to him and said, you can't deny this. Because I can tell you right now, this is an undeniable pattern. What I'm about to show you is threaded through the entire book of Acts. It's there. And it's not going anywhere. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord, I said this the other day. Somebody asked me about this. Imagine the Son of God growing up in Nazareth for 30 years. How many people you think he had to watch die He didn't do one miracle to the age of 30. Not one. Until the day of his revealing. How many family members you think he had to watch die? That's a hard thing. You ever thought about that? Until the anointing of the Holy Ghost came upon him for service, when God publicly ordained him at the River Jordan and spoke with an audible voice, "This is my beloved son. This is my new heir. Hear him. I am well pleased. This is my spokesperson." And the Bible says Jesus was approved of God. Say approved. By miracles, signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. There is a power that comes upon a vessel that's an approving power. It's a confirming power. There is a power of the gift realm. There's an operation of gift, but listen to me. But listen to me very carefully. The gift realm never is approving of what you're doing. You ever seen somebody operating a gift? Sometimes they don't even need presence in the building. They can talk about themselves the whole time. I didn't understand back in those days what was going on. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, "Listen, that's a gift." I watched that. When I started understanding, I watched that in a lot of people. They had a lot of issues behind those gifts. He goes, "Just because they have a gift doesn't mean I approve. But there is another power that comes that God does approve of you." Even Jesus himself said, "If you cannot believe that I am the Son of the living God, then believe the works, for they testify that the Father's with me." See, there is a power that will testify, that has everything to do with your walk, that has everything to do with your fellowship, that has everything to do with who you are in God, what you have in God. Because it bypasses the gift realm altogether. It's an approving power. And this was what was upon the apostles. It was a confirming power that confirmed what it was they were saying to the church. And the Lord Jesus did not leave them to chance. Not only did he give them the Holy Spirit, he broke the books open and he gave them the messages that they were going to preach. The first two messages that Peter preached. In fact, he established the entire doctrine before he ascended. Opened the books to them. Said, "Speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God." The first thing he gave them. If you watch this pattern, because this is going to reemerge. This pattern is going to reemerge. And this pattern is going to be completely restored. And when it does, it's going to bring something into the church that I'm now beginning to understand the essence of the apostolic office. The essence of the apostolic office is not a personality that stands up in front of you. It's not a government gift. The essence of the apostolic office is the pureness and the power of resurrection life. That is the foundational essence. And that life, when it comes in its fullness by way of testimony, it's going to shake the world. It's going to shake you. It's going to shake me. Because that life is coming directly from heaven above. And that life has raw power in it. And with it, so over that life comes, everything that's dead is going to live in the midst of that lie. That's what's going to get restored. And that's what the Holy Spirit's going to manifest. Raw resurrection life. Resurrection life is different than the presence of the Lord. You can be in the presence of the Lord and worship when resurrection life comes in. We got a little taste last couple weeks. A little foretaste. When that comes in, I'm going to tell you how it's going to come in fullness. It's going to come by testimony. It's a confirming operation of the Holy Spirit. There is a time the Holy Spirit will be with you permanently. Say permanently. Well, he's already with me. I'm not talking about him being your comforter. I'm talking about with you permanently in demonstration. Permanent. It's when you pray, he answers. When you stand before a situation that's impossible for man, he's right there. It's a confirming operation. Amen. Luke 24, you there? "So he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days. And what did he say? Behold, you receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you to be my witnesses. He's talking to them in Acts 1. It's very important to understand. Acts 1 is Luke chapter 24. Just fold first half of that chapter right into 24, because that's when he said it. Luke is rehearsing it. I want to know how he said it, where he said it, what condition he said it. Because the part we've missed is we got the power part. We know who's supplying the power. The part we missed, and you shall be my witnesses. He was speaking to them in a resurrected state. He was out of the grave, and he was in front of them when he was saying this. In a resurrection, he said, you will be witnesses of what you see today. Luke chapter 24, look at verse 36. Now here he's rehearsing Acts 1 now. And thus making, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. Now this is resurrected, Lord. Now he's already out of the grave. And he said to them, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and frightened. He said, suppose that they had seen a spirit. Now this is important, because he wanted to make sure they weren't looking at a vision. They weren't looking at a spirit. He wanted to make sure what they were looking at. And he goes to great lengths to establish that testimony. And he's going to do that again. Say he's going to do that again. And he said to them, why are you troubled? He says, behold my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Now what did Acts 1 say? By many infallible proofs. Why did he give them an infallible proof? He wasn't trying to convince them. He was establishing firsthand testimony. Because he was about to send them with their message to the world. And the world was a courtroom. And God was going to come into that courtroom with full judicial witness. Not secondhand testimony. How many of you believe Jesus raised from the dead? Did you see that? But you believe it, right? Did you see that happen? Have you seen him appear before you? Some of you might have, but have you actually seen him? But you believe, right? Not yet, you haven't. So when you go to tell somebody that Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected for your behalf, you are actually offering them, believe it or not, you believe it, but concerning that lost person, you're offering them secondhand testimony. That's hard. Do you understand what I'm saying there? The apostles in the early church and everybody around them did not offer secondhand testimony. They offered firsthand eyewitness testimony. The Lord was going to make sure of it. Because it was all about the authentication. When Jesus said, you are going to bear witness. You're going to testify on my behalf. He speaks of courtroom language. You're going to testify to the courtroom of the world system. And so also shall the Holy Spirit bear witness with you. He stands next to your testimony. That's the difference. But it wasn't just the two. There was three. The three is what makes it work. And he said, behold my hands and my feet. He said, you're not seeing a spirit here. Handle me. See. Notice what he says. Handle me. See. When Peter, in the book of Acts, got him in front of the Sanhedrin court, he said, be it known unto you, whether it's right or not to speak these things, you judge. We cannot but speak the things we have seen and we have heard. Did you hear that? We have to. I cannot speak the things I've seen and heard. We told Paul, Paul, I've appeared unto you for this purpose. To be my witness of the things you have seen and heard today and the things that I will show you afterwards. You ought to read Acts chapter 21 through 26 and look at the hoopla made over the testimony of the resurrection. 40 men made a covenant to take him out. They made an oath and they fasted and said, we will not eat again until this man's dead. And the centurion found out about it. He put him under the command of 200 soldiers and shipped him off to Caesarea and brought him before Felix. And then Felix brought him before Festus. I don't know how they got names like that. I have not a clue. Felix, Festus, and Agrippa. King Agrippa. And Paul said, listen, all of this hoopla, it's only for this one reason. For this one voice that I cry out, there be a resurrection. That's why they want to kill me. Because I bear testimony that this man is not dead, but he is alive and I have seen him. That's what the hoopla was about. And the hoopla is going to begin again. When eyewitness testimony comes, it'll stir more devils up. When the resurrection power, because it is the highest level of operation there is apostolic testimony. It brings the highest operation, which is resurrection power. And it brings it in. When these three line up, oh my. How the world is going to change. The world is not impressed with our personalities. It's not impressed with anything the church is really doing. You know, the world can sit up in the most churches these days and be the same person. Go in and go out. But that's going to change. Because the world will not escape resurrection power. First message Peter preached out of the box said the Holy Ghost come upon them. They were cut to the heart, seized them with conviction power. And they cried out, what must we do to be saved? And 3,000 born again. That's resurrection power. He said, behold, my hands and my feet, I myself, handle me and see. A spirit not hath flesh and bones as you see me have. In a resurrected state, you're not seeing a ghost. It's important that you understand. You are seeing me. Touch me. Oh, I want him to do that. But he didn't stop there, did he? And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hand and feet. Wow. What was he doing? Establishing the infallible proof, because they were about to bear witness of the resurrection, and he needed to make sure they understood who they were seeing, what they were seeing. It's amazing how I can preach this. Somebody come up and say, oh yeah, I had an encounter with the presence of the Lord and got that. Listen, if you have an encounter like this, I promise you, your life will never be the same. Not ever. Amen. And they believed, verse 41, for joy and wondered and said, have you here any meat? And he gave them a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb. And he took it and he ate it before them. The Lord in a resurrected state having lunch. Dinner! He did that several times. He did with Peter on the Sea of Tiberias, right before he ordained him. Ate with him. I don't know if he'd bring it out of heaven. Resurrected state, he laid out a table for you. Why would he do that? I would imagine he didn't do it because he was hungry. He wanted to fully establish the fact that they are dealing with a resurrected Christ and their testimony. Because Peter, even in Cornelius, he said, we did eat with him. We talked with him. We ate with him. We've seen him. We're bearing witness of this. Their witness was a major fundamental foundation of the early church. He established it first. The first thing he did. First thing he did, the women saw him. She'll see him first. She said, amen. Five of them. They ran to the apostles and none of them believed them. So Peter and John, they ran out. Peter saw him after that. And then he showed himself to 500 brethren at one time before his ascension. Showed himself to the 120. They're part of the 500. The whole early church was birthed out of the authentication of eyewitness testimony. How did we miss this? How do we not see this to be my witnesses? Listen, a witness is a witness. If I witness an accident and I can't go and I send Anna to the courtroom and Anna said, listen, my husband and I are one in spirit and I really trust what he says. I know him, Judge. And he's telling the truth that he sent me to bear witness, his witness. What do you think the judge is going to do? Toss it. Say, woman, you are beautiful. Can't deny that. I even believe you. But I can't admit this as evidence. Because it didn't come from the one who saw it. That's the nature of a witness. A true apostolic witness is going to have seen the Lord. Paul said, am I not an apostle? Have I not seen the Lord? It was a fundamental foundation of the early church. Even Matthias, that took Judas's place. Peter said, choose out among these 120. Those 70 disciples were in those 120, by the way. You know, he sent them out about 2 weeks before he went to Jerusalem. They were in the 120. He said, choose you out men that have been with us from the beginning of baptism of John until the day he was taken up. Choose somebody. And they pulled two of them. The qualification had to have been with them since the baptism of John until the day he was taken up. He said, one must be ordained to be a witness of his resurrection. He had to have seen him to be a part of that apostolic crew. To take part in this ministry, he said. And their ministry was to bear witness. That's the fundamental essence of the apostolic office. Eyewitness testimony, and then something else. What did he say? By many infallible proofs, showed himself alive. Secondly, and he spoke to them of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, this is wonderful here. Look at this part. So he establishes the testimony. Notice what he says, verse 48 of Luke 24. He said, and you are witnesses of these things. God is going to restore. We know he's going to restore it in the book of Revelation. You have the two witnesses, and you have 144,000 he's going to send in the latter half of the tribulation. He ordains them on Mount Zion and sends them out. Eyewitnesses. Oh, those guys are going to be powerful. Man, that's going to be something. You understand midway through the tribulation, Michael the archangel is going to empty the entire second heaven out. All the principalities and powers that are ruling in the second heavens, none of that's going to remain anymore. All the demonic powers, says the prince of the power of the air, wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness, heavenly places. That's the second heaven operation. They get all emptied out midway through the tribulation, dropped down into the earth. He says, woe into the heavens and the earth, the devil has come down unto you. You don't want to be here at that time. I'm not going to be here at this time. You don't want to be in the earth when him that restraineth is taken out of the earth and they drop and empty the entire second heaven. In 3.5 years, the world's going to get what they want. A godless world. The Holy Ghost is going to withdraw. All the devils and demonic powers are going to be cast down on the earth. And you're talking about mayhem beyond human description for 3.5 years. Nobody's going to escape that. God has even a remedy in that day, even a last mercy. He raises 144,000 exponential apostolic government, 144,000 eyewitnesses, and he ordains them personally at Mount Zion to send them out in the second half of the tribulation. That's a powerful ordination. If you understand the eyewitness, you'll understand how to read that, Revelation 14. Because these angels come out of heaven, and they're flying around them, around the Mount Zion, Everybody thinks this happened in heaven. No, this is on the earth. And they're flying around, and the angels have the everlasting gospel to preach. And everybody said, the angels are going to preach the gospel. No, they're not. Angels have not been committed to gospel. It's been committed to man. These angels come out, and they're flying around these 144,000, and they're proclaiming what their message is going to be. They have the everlasting gospel. You're going to preach the everlasting gospel. And then another one comes out and starts prophesying the fall of Babylon. Babylon is fallen. It's fallen, which is going to fall in the latter half. He's given them their message. They're going to decree the fall of Babylon, which is about to be resurrected, by the way. To him who had ears to hear, let him hear. Babylon's fixing to come up in the earth. Mystery Babylon. Hallelujah. Then the third one is, take not the mark of the beast. That's their message. They're the ones administrating that message. God's mercy will extend through the eyewitness into the even the last throes of humanity. Isn't that amazing? We know it's restored. But that's the time for the Jews. They get their final week. But the church is going to get its final say. He began with the apostolic office. He's going to end with the apostolic office. Now get this. What did he first begin with? He began with the eyewitness. The second thing he did was he opened the books. He spoke to them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Notice what he did. I love this. It's part of the blueprint. If we can identify it. Do you know there is not one promise anywhere in the Bible that says God will appear before you? Now he'll say the pure in heart will see God, but that's not exactly... You can't really, you know, you can see things of God. But there is a promise. If you can identify, the eyewitness is a grace that belongs to the apostolic office. And everyone associated with the apostolic office has a right to that grace because the entire early church had it. We have a right for it. Amen? So you can receive the grace of it. When this apostle saw the Lord, they all saw him. Imagine the whole early church being born out of the eyewitness, and we never see this before. Well, if you're here, you've seen it before. Now, look at verse 44. I love this. And he said to them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was with you. So he established the eyewitness. Now he's going to establish their doctrine. This is huge. When the Pharisees and the Sadducees came upon him, he said, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Did we not expressly command you not to preach or teach this name? But more importantly, notice what they said. This is Acts 4. You don't have to go there. Stay in Luke. I'm just going to read this to you. Acts 4:1. And they spake unto the people, and the priests, and the captain, the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. It's after they healed that man at the gate. Beautiful. Got a huge crowd. When you get healings like that, a man 40 years in the condition, crowds will show up. You get miracles like that, you don't have to try to build a ministry. They'll find you. You'll be like, Jesus, hide me. Said he ducked off into a room and said, tell no man I'm in here. The Lord Jesus himself. Can you imagine the Lord of glory giving out to everybody? He tells his disciples, he hides in the house. He said, don't tell anybody I'm in here. He was tired. And the Bible says he could not be hid. Get ready. Wonder if God will ever use you. When apostolic power comes, you'll be employed 24 hours a day. You'll be employed when you don't want to be employed. When you have apostolic power, the needs of humanity are going to find you. They're going to find you quickly. And he said to them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled that were written. Notice, now he didn't just arbitrarily say this. You need to have your Bible opened right here. Which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me, and he opened their understanding that they might understand the scripture. He took them to Moses. He took them to Psalms. He took them to the prophets. And he opened their eyes and said, this is what was said of me. This is what is said of me. Peter, listen up because you're about to preach this. This was said of me. He gives them their first messages in a resurrected state. He tells them what they're going to preach. And he said, thus is it written, thus it's behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day. He gives them the message of the resurrection. How do you know that? Just look at his first message. Look at his second message. By chapter 5, you fill Jerusalem with this doctrine of the resurrection. He says, being grieved, in Acts 4, verse 2, being grieved, they taught the people. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came upon them. And they were grieved, listen to this, that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. He said, did we not tell you expressly not to do this? But you have filled Jerusalem with what? Your doctrine. What was the doctrine of the apostles? The doctrine was a death, burial, but more important, the resurrection. They preached the resurrection. And they preached the right hand of God. And they preached it over and over and over again. And when you get that light and you read the book of Acts, you'll see another blueprint. You'll see there was something else. So he opens the books. We know this. When Peter comes out of the gate, the first thing he preaches, he tells them this was prophesied about the outpouring in Joel chapter 2 because the Lord told him it was. He opened the prophets. And then he preaches Psalm 16. And he preaches Psalms 110. Both of them direct references to the right hand of God. Speaking of David, he said, this wasn't talking about David. Those messages were given by the Lord himself. So what is he doing? You've got your eyewitness. Now, you've got the witness of the prophets. You have the witness of my word. That's your second witness. I'll show you that in a minute. He says, now wait. Say, wait. For the promise of the Holy Ghost. So, he tells them, he's standing in front of them, you have your eyewitness, you have the witness of my word, and he tells them, wait for the Holy Ghost. Now we're going to see this play out in the book of Acts, exactly the way he gave it. And when he did, power, souls, multiplication immediately came. All the stuff we've been looking for. Prophesied for, fasting for, repenting for, crying out for. There it was. There it is. Can't wait for the days of this testimony to be fully restored. You won't have to tell people Jesus loves them. You will show them Jesus loves them. That's a gospel that'll change that Muslim church right next door to us. Because that Muslim man comes out of there like this, you don't go and say, Jesus loves you. Look, they're already ready in certain parts of the world to die for their God, for Allah. But if you say, can I pray for you? More importantly, they might see people run out of this church that just got healed. They might see buses bringing them in. And they might come over and find out what's going on. But listen, when someone's in pain, serious infirmity, serious ailment, they don't care. When God heals them, they'll know that Jesus is alive. See, that's a confirming power of the Holy Ghost. He's coming to confirm your witness. You have to understand the power of witness. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That wasn't just your testimony saying that you were delivered from drugs. They overcame by the word of the eyewitness testimony. 49:24-49. He said, behold, I will send the promise of my Father upon you. Wait, tarry you in Jerusalem until you be endued with power on high. Now that's where he came from when he said in Acts 1, behold, you will see power. When the Holy Ghost comes on, you be my witness. And he had already established their witness. He established the witness of the word. And he said, now wait for the Holy Ghost. We're doing everything in reverse now, by the way. if you haven't noticed. Since the dark ages, God's been restoring the church and the fundamental offices and foundations of the church. The historical churches, the evangelists of the 1800s. Baptism of the Holy Ghost in the early 1900s. The Holy Ghost come back into the earth. The office of a teacher during the charismatic movement. The office of a prophet all up into the 90s. And now we're up in to where we are. The restoration of the apostolic office. We already have the Holy Spirit. We don't have him in that kind of power yet. Except in some places of the earth. Not that kind of power. Because I'm telling you, if that was in the cities, you would know it. You would know it. It would be talked about everywhere. And then, what do you do first? Eyewitness. Second, doctrine. Third, Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. He's restoring the doctrine of the resurrection right at the hand of God. Now, it's like, wait for the eyewitness. And your testimony will be complete. You'll go to the world in the mouth of two or three. You, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. He said in John 16, you will be my witnesses, and the Holy Spirit will also, he goes, you will testify me, and the Holy Spirit will also bear witness. He doesn't bear witness with words. He bears witness with power. He backs up your words. He backs up your authentic testimony. He'll back up the entire church. That's what he did in the book of Acts. He wasn't backing up one man. He was backing up the message. He was backing up the testimony that was given to the entire church. This testimony will be fulfilled. Because we'll keep that word, this constitution, until it does. That's what this is about. Part of it. So, they come out of the gate in Acts chapter 2. What's Peter do? Start speaking about Psalms 16. First message out of the gate. Psalm 16. Go over there real quick. We'll close with this. I'll show you all three of those in his first message resulted in 3,000 people being born again. They're all there. Second message resulted in 5,000 people being born again. And we're trying to figure out how that works. Well, it's going to work when we get all the components together. Amen? We've identified the blueprint. At least we know what we're looking for. Here's my thing with God. A lot of you have heard this before. But we have to keep it rolling. Amen? It's got to keep our faith rolling. Here's my thing. Lord, we know. How many of you believe this is an apostolic church? Raise your hand. How do you know that? Because there's certain things that we know. I believe I have an apostolic calling upon my life. I believe there's many people in here have apostolic calling. I don't consider myself as a bona fide, legitimate apostle. People will call me that, but I don't consider myself that. Not yet. Because I'm looking for something that they had. I said, Lord, if you'll give me what they had, I don't want anything more. I just want what they had. And we're going to go beyond the book of Acts. I'm like, let's just get the book of Acts first, because that's a pretty big load. The book of Acts, they did a lot. These men had turned the world upside down. They would turn whole cities upside down wherever they went. They were bearing the testimony. They were carrying resurrection life and resurrection power. Angels would come and unlock prison doors and say, go speak the words of this resurrection life. With great power gave he the apostles eyewitness testimony of the resurrection, and great grace was upon them. Don't miss that part when you go into trying to build somewhere. Don't miss that part and running around everywhere you go. Everyone's got a theory of how this is going to work. Everybody's got a little theory. It's going to happen this way. It's going to happen. Well, it's going to happen because God prophesied that. I got news for you. God's prophesied revival in every single city of this nation. Just go and ask the churches in there. They'll give you the prophecies. Because God sends his word out to anybody and everybody. Everybody got the theory how it's going to fall. Everybody got a theory. I don't want a theory. Believe me, I followed a bunch of them. Man, that's all I used to do in the early days of ministry, jump on somebody's train and follow them. Just everywhere. Those of you who've been around long enough know what works, what doesn't work. Those of you who've really been around long, you can watch one service, somebody says, oh, no, that ain't it. You can look right past it all. I don't care how glamorous, how good they are, what kind of show they're putting on. You look right past it and say, that is not going to result in what we're looking for. You can see that if you have eyes to see. If you've been around long enough. I don't need another theory. I want a blueprint. And that blueprint from the book of Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is just fine by me. It's just perfect enough. Because I know if he did it for them, he's going to do it for us. We're no different apostles than they were. The apostolic office is the apostolic office. The fundamental components of the apostolic office are the fundamental components. He doesn't give it to one. He said, well, it passed away with the 12. Well, that's impossible. Because he pulls Paul right out. He didn't grow up with them. He persecuted them, pulled them right out, and gave Paul the exact same thing he gave those 12. Gave him the eyewitness. I've appeared unto thee, Paul, for this purpose. Paul was given the doctrine of the resurrection, the doctrine of the right hand of God. I believe he wrote the book of Hebrews. It's full of the right hand of God. He said, you had compassion me in my bonds. Who else was in bonds? With Paul. Ephesians, Colossians, bearing testimony of the resurrection. He was given the doctrine. He was given the eyewitness testimony. And if you will go home and do your homework, read Acts chapter 21 through 26, and you'll see the thread of resurrection. You'll see the testimony of the resurrection. For this one voice I've cried out, constantly bearing testimony of the resurrection before the rulers and the magistrates of their day. And people wanted to kill him for it because the power that was on him. It'll stir devils up. They're going to get stirred up again. You might as well know that. They don't get stirred up little church services. They get stirred up when raw resurrection power shows up. It shakes walls. That's what stirs the devils up. That's coming. You think you're going to reach some place of perfection one day that you'll be perfect enough for God to put that kind of power on you? You're never going to be perfect enough. Peter wasn't perfect enough. But he had the print. It was obvious he wasn't perfect enough. He was already going back under the law. Paul had to come and grab him out. Book of Galatians. But he had the blueprint. And he had a commission. Being imperfect, he was commissioned in an imperfect state. Acts 2, verse 25. You can read Psalm 16 and 110 later, both of them referencing direct reference at the right hand of God. And David speaketh concerning him. See, Peter's preaching right in the middle of this. And he references Psalm 16. Now now look at verse 32 first. Acts 2, 32. We're going to close in a minute. Jesus, this Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. So he's establishing his witness. And then he establishes the doctrine that he was given by the Lord when the Lord opened the books to him. Now notice verse 25. And David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad, moreover my flesh. He's quoting from Psalm 16. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, verse 27. Neither will thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known unto me the ways of life, thou shalt make me full of joy without countenance. That's verse 28. Notice what he left out. If you go to Psalm 16, notice what he says. Thou will make known to me the path of life. In thy presence is full of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. He's quoting that. Then he explains it to them. He says, we're all eyewitnesses of this, by the way. Imagine if we can say that. Probably 100 and something people in here. What if he stood right there? He appeared to 500 at one time. What if he gave this whole center eyewitness testimony? Not one time. The apostles got it seven times. Peter saw him seven times. Say seven. By many infallible proofs. And he says, now you're all going to be my witnesses. Bam! We're on. Why? Because we already have the doctrine. We've already had the doctrine. It's been given to us the last 4 years. We've already preached it. It's already public testimony. And it's free by the Lord's design for any and anybody who wants to hear it. And we have the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit said, he's itching, just waiting, just waiting. Oh, come on. Get that final authentication. Just authenticate it. He's waiting for the Father to authenticate our testimony, for the Lord Jesus to walk up in our midst. I know that's hard for a lot of you to believe. But this is an apostolic church. An apostolic church needs to see the Lord. That's the nature. They bear witness of the resurrection. That is their calling. You got to get that big time in you. The nature of an apostolic office is to bear eyewitness testimony of the resurrection. It is the fundamental purpose of it. Beyond any other purpose. When we get that, you can hold this to your chest and say, Father, as you did it in the early days, let the latter rain and the early rain together now. What you did for them, do for us. For this is your blueprint. And we receive the grace that's given because we know we're called as an apostolic center. We know we've been given the doctrine. We've been given the Holy Spirit. We've been given exceeding great precious promises. And we've been given this grace. So let it be. I don't need to see him to believe. I already believe. So do you. I need my witness authenticated so it's firsthand testimony. It'll make all the difference in the world. I'm going to say something to you. My second close. Or third. I'll say something to you. Secondhand testimony. An apostolic office does not administrate secondhand testimony. Well, I'll say it like this. A true, authentic apostolic office should not administrate secondhand testimony. It wasn't done in the early church. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, he was seen of all the apostles. You say all? A-L-L, all. We're hard-pressed to see if he's been seen of some of them in our day. But to see him alone is not enough. You have to have it all. It's the whole witness. So he preaches out of Psalms 16, then he preaches out of Psalms 110. He says, we're all witnesses of these things. And then the Holy Ghost said, that's all I need. You have given your testimony. You've given testimony of the word. You've gone to the world in the mouth of two. I will provide the third testimony now. And he drops down with conviction power. And he seizes the crowd. And 3,000 people are born again on the spot. With no advertisement whatsoever. Spontaneous message. 3,000 people born again. Wow! Next chapter, there lifted a man that'd been 40 years on a bed. Causes such a hoopla that brings out the religious elite. Said, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine of this resurrection. You got that right. We're going to fill it more than doctrine. We're going to fill it with the power of resurrection. And the Holy Ghost is going to do what he does best. Confirm. You can go read later, Acts chapter 10. The entire Gentile church was born out of the exact same testimony. Peter preaches the same thing. He gives the eyewitness testimony. And he can even finish his message. And the Holy Ghost falls and bursts the entire Gentile church through eyewitness testimony. If you read the book of Acts this week, read it in the light. Eyewitness testimony of the resurrection, right hand of God. Read it in the light of the doctrine of the resurrection. When they say witnesses, write eyewitnesses in front of it. And read it in the light of the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And you'll get a brand new, fresh revelation of what the early church was about. Amen. and you're going to get a fresh revelation of where we are going and what God's about to do with us. He's not going to let go. Where are we going to go from here? Am I going to talk about the apostolic office the rest of my life? Or are we going to get the fundamental components to make this thing work? We're going to get the components. Why? We have a right to them. Because he hasn't changed the apostolic office. It's the same apostolic office. Amen? Let's stand. Hallelujah. Let's give him glory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this blueprint. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the birth. Thank you for what you've taught us. Thank you that we can keep your words until we see the fullness of it. Thank you, Lord, what you've given us in this place. Thank you, Lord, for where we're going. Thank you, Lord, for the compass that's in us. Thank you, Lord. We're not shooting in the dark here. We can keep your words. We can have what you said we can have. You're not a man that you should lie. What was for the early church is for us in this hour. We thank you, you will confirm it, establish it, and authenticate it before man. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Let's give him glory. Hallelujah.